Welcome once again, as I so often say, to Grace Baptist Church and our Sunday school portion of this ministry. God willing, due to circumstances today, Brother Bobby, as I said, God willing, will be coming after this particular message to bring us a song. I'm looking forward to that. They're always so good. So be thinking about that as you're waiting for this message. And then after we're completed, we'll look for Brother Bobby. Today, in what are you trusting? Of course, to make such a question like that complete, we must add, in whom are you trusting? In regard to the full question, in whom or what are you trusting, we must be clear on what is meant by trusting. When you trust in something. Now, I did a lengthy word study on two of the words translated trust in the New Testament. And I'd like to give you what I came away with from that study. When you trust in something or someone, there is an expectation that you have concerning that thing or that one. You rely upon that expectation you have of that thing or that one. Therefore, you rely upon the thing or person you trust. Another way to view this reliance we have of certain things or people, which comes from our trust in them, is to say that we confide in them. And in the deepest sense, to confide in either something or someone is to give yourself over to them. Now, that being true, then, we have the greatest confidence in these things and persons in whom we put our trust. Again, all of what I just told you comes from a word study of two words, the most prominent ones, translated trust in the New Testament. As professing Christians, would not all of us say that we trust in Christ above all else? Of course, that's what we would say. But is what we say indeed the way we actually live our lives day by day, conducting ourselves in all life's circumstances, in our real life's situations? I fear for myself, and I fear that when we are not in view of others, or when people don't know what we're actually thinking, we might not be trusting Christ as we should. Do you and I, this is a question I have, need to think about this. Do you and I expect Christ to always do what is best for us to the degree that we know all things are working together for our good? And remember, folks, as Christians, we know a great deal by faith. If we really trust Him, Do we expect that all things are working together for our good? So I ask myself this question, then why in the world do I behave so negatively in times of fiery trial? When I say I'm trusting in Christ to the degree that I know all things work together for my good. Do we not rely upon the expectation that God makes no mistakes in what he sends our way in our daily lives? God's in control of all of that. If not, and I fear that that's the case for me upon some occasions, if not, we're not really relying upon him. We're not really trusting in him. Do you, do I, confide in God the Father and his eternal Son to the degree that we have given ourselves over, our very souls, our very beings, to where we've given ourselves over to God? Anything less falls short of truly trusting God. Now, folks, I'm not talking at you. If anything, I consider myself when I say these things. The level to which we give ourselves over to God will determine the level that we have confidence in God. The other way around is also true. The level to which we have confidence in God will determine how much we give ourselves over to God. And Christian, God requires all of your being. What does the Bible say? Trust in the Lord with most of your heart. With at least some of your heart. No, the scriptures say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Psalm 62. Trust in him, trust in God most of the time. No, that's not what it says. Trust in him at all times, you people. We all know that we're not going to attain to perfection in this life, but we cannot overlook this requirement of God we see in the scripture that says, for everyone, and Christians, talking to you, that doesn't leave out any of you. For everyone to whom much has been given, from that one, much will be required. Luke 12:48. We've used that a number of times now, haven't we, in the last 3 or 4 weeks. These scriptures, trust in the Lord with all your heart and all your ways acknowledge him, trust in God at all times, those scriptures are not helpful suggestions, flowery words from the Bible. They're not helpful suggestions from God, but are strict directives for God's people to be heartfeltedly obeyed in order to live the Christian life. We cannot do the Christian life except we're behaving in that manner. As I've sort of alluded to thus far, I've realized recently that most all of my messages are meant by God not only for you, but especially for me. I'm so thankful to God for that. God has helped me recently. He's helped me greatly to trust him more and more in these latter years of my life, which have been the most trying times in my life. Now, as I have taught you from this pulpit, if you are truly a Christian, if I am truly a Christian, there is no way out as far as being exempt from fiery trials. And dear brothers and sisters, we must trust in the Lord at all times, with all our hearts, if we would be at peace in our own souls. Your peace of mind, and folks, that's very important. Peace of mind. Your peace of mind will be in direct correlation to your trust in the Lord. We do want to be trustworthy ourselves if we're really Christians. And I believe the vast majority of us would have all people to be trustworthy as well. But you know, and I know, the hard, cold reality is that all human beings are sinners and not worthy of the trust we offer to God. Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9, the Word of God says, now listen to this, this is something we need to learn from. Better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in humanity. Better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes, those in positions of authority. Now that, those scriptures I just read, they don't say, put no confidence, never trust in humanity generally, or those in authority specifically. I do believe the meaning here is we must have absolute trust and confidence in God, but beware, be mindful of the propensity of sin in an imperfect humanity, realizing they cannot always be trusted. And therefore, we cannot have the same confidence in people that we have in the Lord. And then that makes us, this came into my mind immediately after what God just gave me to say. Then how in the world do we deal with Romans chapter 13 and those people in positions of authority? The Bible's pretty clear there. Romans 13, 2, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. Now I believe God gives an answer to some would give an answer to what some people would say concerning Psalm 118 and Romans 13, that they contradict one another. In Acts chapter 4, and may I read, don't try to follow me again because I'm going to be skipping around in Acts chapter 4. Again, presenting you a narrative. Please, please listen. I've just told you that we have to give supreme trust to God, but must be wary of mankind because of the propensity to sin. Yet God's word says, and concerning those people in positions of authority, that we should obey them. Acts chapter 4. Peter and John were out preaching around the temple. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. Now, folks, this is people in positions of authority. being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And these authorities, folks, they laid hands on Peter and John and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" They take Peter and John, put them out there and ask them these questions. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole." He's been healed. "Speaking of Christ, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now, folks, all that Peter said there was just the truth. He wasn't disrespectful. He just told the truth. "Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized they had been with Jesus." Peter and John had been with Jesus. "And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name," in the name of Jesus. "So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them," here's the answer, folks. Here's the answer to that question. When confronted with authorities, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them and let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. Folks, if God directs us specifically in his word to do or not to do this or that, we must trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. Now, may I caution you, especially in this world today, be very careful in this present political atmosphere, which is heavily, I believe, under the ruler of the authority of the air, the god of this age, Satan. Now, I know if we have any folks outside of Christ that might hear this, I would be a political fanatic, excuse me, a religious fanatic. But folks, this is simply the truth. There are no political solutions to stop this world. There are no political solutions to stop this world from going to hell in a handbag. And that's just where it's headed today. I'm not telling you not to vote or not to be informed in the political arena or even to take part in any honorable capacity in that area. But I will repeat, better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in humanity. Better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes or presidents. Consider the hypocrisy of the current U.S. government by reading what is printed on all our coins and paper money. I just looked at every piece that I could find, and it was all increments up to, you know, I didn't have any really high bills. It says, in God we trust. All of it has that inscription. Now, I'm not here to criticize those who first put that on a 2-cent coin in 1864. Or those who had it put on all currency, all money, in 1956. Because I don't know about those particular individuals involved. But I do know about those involved today. And there is no evidence of a government led by trust in God. Please. Does anyone believe that today? We have a government led by trust in God. And that leads us from in whom are you trusting to in what are you trusting? A nice little segue here. Speaking of money, God forbid that we are trusting in money. The major reason we trust in God is because we love Him. Because He first loved us. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Romans 5:5. That portion of the fruit of the Spirit, mentioned first, love, is actively exercised by a true Christian from the heart. Our faith, another portion of the fruit of the Spirit. Our faith, our trust in God works by love. We trust God because we love God. Folks, it's just a reality. Those who trust in money love money. Remember what trust involves now. Listen up. That word study was very, very important for applying it at this time. Trust involves an expectation. Now, with money, we have an expectation then from money. Relying upon that expectation, which leads to relying upon money. That reliance leads to confiding in money to the degree that you give yourself over to it. You have the greatest confidence in money. And folks, I've watched one particular program on television where this is what they talk about. One person on there says, I love money. That's basically all I'm concerned with. Making money. And folks, the scripture's clear. The love of money is a root of all evil. Money, Christian, money is definitely not a thing to trust. And I'm vulnerable here. And some of us my age can relate to this. You may have your house paid off. I do. My car is paid off. I'm still working full time. I have a fair little nest egg to me, for me. For some people, they probably laugh about it. But God forbid that I start trusting in that. Look at the way things are going in this economy. My house might be worth nothing in a short period of time. Money in America might be worth nothing in a short period of time. I pray that doesn't happen, but things are not good if you're trusting in money. To trust in money makes people subject to great harm. 1 Timothy chapter 6 is straight out of the Word of God. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful lusts which drown human beings in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Proverbs 11:28. The one trusting in his riches will fall. Matthew 6:24. Listen to this, folks, especially Christians, you listen. No one, how many does that leave out? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one or despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. This is a good example of loving what you trust and giving yourself over to it by serving it. You cannot serve God and money. God won't allow it, even if you think you can handle it. You must trust in the Lord with all your heart and not lean to your own understanding, especially if you think you can serve God and money. Now, having looked at something you must not trust in, let's consider something we are commanded to trust. James. Folks, this verse is overwhelmingly revealing. Please pay close attention to this. James 1:21 says this: lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. Receive and implanted. We're going to look hard at those two words. And receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Folks, the only word able to save your souls is the implanted word. I'll explain that in a moment. We are commanded to receive. That is an imperative mood. It's not a suggestion again. It is a commandment. We are commanded to receive the implanted word. Folks, now listen. This is a commandment we will not, Christians, we will not and are not able to reject. Did you hear that? It is irresistible. Why? Why is it irresistible for us to receive with meekness the implanted word? Because it's the implanted word, folks. That's why. The word implanted means inborn. Implanted. Inborn. Brought into living union with. Of course, that is due to the new birth. The indwelling Holy Spirit of Christ implants the word of Christ into our hearts and mind as a seed planted in fertile ground. Folks, it must grow. It can do nothing but grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see, it is an implanted word planted there by God. And bless God, we as the people of God have this word, the word of God, in written form. John 20, verse 30. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life. And folks, that's eternal life. Eternal union with Him in His name. Brothers and sisters, Christians, because God has implanted His word in our hearts, we say along with the psalmist, I trust in your word. Psalm 119, verse 42. We trust in God's word from the heart. We have an expectation of God's written word. We rely upon that expectation. Therefore, we rely upon the Holy Scriptures. It's who we are. This reliance means that we confide in the Scriptures to the degree that we give ourselves over to the Scriptures. We have the greatest confidence in the Bible because the one true God, Jesus Christ, whose word it is, has implanted it in our very beings. We trust what we read in 2 Timothy 3:16, and may I give you a little more literal translation of that. We trust this. Every scripture. Now what does that leave out? Every scripture. God breathed. And profitable for teaching. For reproof. For correction. For training in the righteousness. Folks, therein, what I just said, therein is found all things pertaining to life and godliness. I close now. The true people of God may stumble here and there. They're not perfect yet. But there is a recognizable consistency in their trust in God and in His written word. Is that consistency found in your life today? Is it found in my life today? In whom or what are we trusting? Amen. Now, if you folks will stand by, our brother Bobby Quick will be coming to bring us a song. Always a blessing. Thank you, Brother Bobby.
Thank you, Brother Mike. I was reading the scripture that says, lay up treasures in heaven for yourself. So that's where it better be. At last indeed my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die. Would He devote that sacred head for me? Was it for crimes I have done? He groaned upon that tree. Amazing grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well might the sun in darkness hide, and shut His glories in, when Christ my Maker died for the creature's sin. Drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Yes, Lord, I give myself away. That's all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and a burden of my heart rolled away, was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Are you happy all the day? Because of Christ. Thank you.